Breaking apartment news. The champion people, you know, the people with the good apartments, bring you River Park of Dublin with this amazing deal.
No rent until 2026. Live in one of the coolest places in the city, right by Bridge Park, and you will not pay rent until next year.
I don't believe it.
I lie a lot, but not about this.
River Park of Dublin. Great location, great amenities, and now a great special. Okay, now go to livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Boys and girls, let's get it. I can't put these headphones on with this hat. So this is my boy's right here. This is my boy's hat. And he runs a sports performance academy. I used to work for him at the Indianapolis Colts. Shout out Justin. And now he's a badass baseball trainer. He helps kids at all levels, kids at all ages. In the Indianapolis area, I believe. Maybe it's Fort Wayne, Indiana. But you see the state of Indiana right there. GSP, Glass Sports Performance. That's my dog. He used to be my sales manager at the Indianapolis Colts. And he threw that up on his Instagram. I was like, those are pretty badass. You know, I play around at golf or whatever in those. And so I grabbed one. But I couldn't fit it on my head. Well, I can fit the hat on my head. I can't fit the headphones around my ears with the bucket hat there. So, you know, just I could go no headphones. You know what I mean? Maybe I'd do that. But then I don't know how the sound's going to be. But we've tested it. It's fine, right? Yeah, we'll go no headphones today. Rock this thing. So, yeah, what's happening? Back on another episode on In a Jar, sitting here listening to a little soul music before I hopped online here, boy. And just kind of listening to some soothing soul music. It's middle of the week. We got a college football head coaching hot seat debate to take care of. We've got some rumors from NFL facilities today that need to be addressed. We've got some quarterbacks in the National Football League claiming God when they're talking about their bad play. I'm figuring out how I want to wear this hat. I literally just got this thing on my doorstep 10 minutes ago. I'm trying to figure out how to rep this shit. And it's also kind of throwing me off not having headphones. But that's just part of the deal. You know, I don't know if I like that. I feel like I look maybe kind of like a fireman captain. with the shit curved up like that, but I also don't want for it to be down because then it's over my eyes and I look all kind of ominous. You know, I don't want to look ominous. So we're here. We got no headphones. Can't wear headphones with this hat because it just comes down over. Good neck protection on this hat. Good back of the neck protection. Playing golf out in the Arizona sun. I'm looking forward to doing that. But as it pertains to wearing a hat on the podcast here, it's kind of covering my face, and I can't wear headphones. So we're gonna go back. I'm having a headwear crisis live on this show for the first time. That's I think that's a thing to be grateful for. You know what I mean? Y'all just watched a bucket hat put me in a mental torture chamber. You know what I mean? But it's cool. We out here. We living. We just got off a walk. Just got done with some work. And it's the middle of the week. So we gotta take our headlines and create some buzz around what's to come this weekend. My Bengals have got the New York Jets on Sunday. And Aaron Glenn, the head coach of the Jets, he came out this morning to the press and said that he's not going to reveal who the starting quarterback is for the New York Jets so that the Bengals don't have a competitive advantage. That's how he put it, competitive advantage. Tyrod Taylor, I think, is having an issue with his knee. He's an old, wily vet, probably made a lot of money in the league, spent a lot of years with a lot of different teams, and I'd rather have Justin Fields starting this game against Cincinnati as a Bengals fan on Sunday than I would Tyrod Taylor, 100%. Because you got a chance to come in there. Really, I didn't think this Bengals team would be anywhere close to being a team that could have a trap game. You know, typically you reserve that trap game connotation for games had by teams that are respectable. I'm not saying the Bengals ain't respectable. Go back Thursday night. I'm very optimistic about this team, which is part of what makes me think Bengals versus Jets in the jungle in Cincinnati on Sunday could be a trap. I'll say this about football in general. It's a very scary thing when a team has nothing to lose, when they feel like they have nothing to lose. It's like a wounded dog. You don't fuck with a wounded dog because they'll tear your ass up. So some groups, they just get to a mental place of fuck it, and they play really well. Some teams, some groups, they never get that fire in their belly, and they just continue to get their ass beat, and they accept getting their ass beat. So really, if you think about it, a psychological test coming for the Bengals and the Jets on Sunday. Are the Jets going to be the kind of team to say, fuck it, we got nothing to lose, dude. Let's just go out there and slang rock, dude. Or are they going to be, well, fuck it, man. Let's just get this guy fired. Let's get a draft pick. I don't give a shit. I'm getting my game check anyway.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Have that kind of group. And I hope for the Bengals' sake that the case ends up being the latter. For the Bengals, it's, look, if the Bengals beat the shit out of the Jets, I'm talking beat them by 35, beat them by 40, I'm all in. Like, my chips are already back on the table, Katie Blackburn. My chips for the Bengals are already back on the table after Thursday night. If we beat the Jets by 35-40 or something crazy. If we beat the shit out of the Jets. Hell, if it's a resounding victory on film and we win by three possessions and we just kick the dog shit out of them, break their will, I'm going to – all my chips are going to the middle of the table on this Bengals team winning the AFC North this year. I said it. And it's going to be a challenging game against Chicago the next week in week 9. And then they have an off week. And then you go to Pittsburgh and you play the Steelers on the road. That's going to be a true test. And that's when the trickiest part of the season presents itself for the Bengals, because you'll have you'll be at Pittsburgh week 11. And then for the next four games, I can't remember the order, but the next four games is Baltimore twice, Buffalo, New England. That New England game might be the toughest one of them all. But Baltimore gets Lamar back this week. He's practicing in Baltimore today. He's going to play against Chicago this week. So word on the street is, and I forgot to bring this up yesterday. I was going to bring this up on the show yesterday. I'm glad I held it. I didn't consciously hold it. I just forgot to talk about it. But the Ravens had things like ping pong tables, PlayStation, cornhole. They had all this shit removed from the locker room. And the initial report yesterday was that coaches removed it. And so on Twitter, people are saying, well, maybe you should worry about coaching football instead of ping pong tables. It came out today that veteran players were the ones who did this. And apparently, coming from sources on the inside, that's creating a little tension. It's creating a little division. From what I understand, don't shoot the messenger. Trying to find it on my note sheet, make sure I don't leave anything out about the situation. So veteran leaders removed games, creating distraction. Distraction. And apparently that decision by veteran players has created division in the Ravens locker room. Maybe the younger guys being like, come on, man. I'm trying to play ping pong, man. You know? Yeah, I got Teddy Belcher in the chat. Teddy says, Jets always upset Cincinnati. I know, man. It feels like a scary game for some reason. Maybe it's just my paranoia or the built-up anxiety of being a Cincinnati sports fan for 20 years. Listen, it could go either way. I mean, it's pro football. What am I fucking talking about? Of course it could go either way. But I think it'll be, ironically, a great test to see if this Bengals team is the team that we saw on Thursday night against Pittsburgh. Of course you're going to show up for one of your biggest rivals. Of course you're going to show up at home. Of course you're going to show up for your AFC North division games. I would hope that guys are able to get motivated for those kind of games. Now, are you going to come out and kick ass at 1 p.m. Eastern time on a Sunday against the worst team in the league? Are you going to do it? And the Jets, we mentioned this yesterday, their owner, Woody Johnson, is throwing Justin Fields under the bus to the press. A lot of guys, and we touched on this yesterday, but I wanted to go farther into it. We've got a lot of leader figures in pro football and college football throwing their boys under the bus. This is football. You're supposed to be a gang against the world type shit. And we're throwing our boys under the bus to the media. Woody Johnson, the owner of the Jets, said that Justin Fields couldn't complete a pass. He says it's hard to win when your quarterback can't complete a pass. You just got to complete a pass. That's what he said about the quarterback they've trusted enough to be their guy for the last 6 weeks, the owner.
Now, with the owners, it's a little different because they're the big dogs. They run the show. They can say whatever the fuck they want, really. They can go to Rubbin' Tugs. I'm talking to Robert Kraft. They can go to a Rubbin' Tug and still own the team. You cannot be fired unless you're Dan Snyder. And Dan Snyder, you know, that guy got pushed out because he was a dick. Don't be a dick. And you can do whatever you want as owner. Don't sexually harass people in the building. And you can do whatever you want if you're an owner. You know? So Woody Johnson's not going to face any accountability for this. The only accountability he'll face is his organization continuing to deteriorate and the fans in the city of New York continuing to suffer. You know? That's an organization that I would still, like, if I had to pick, not being a Cincinnati sports fan, I would still pick being a Cincinnati sports fan over being a New York Jets fan. I think that's obvious. Cardinals, I wouldn't want it. I said that the other day. Fans of the show, no. So it's all kind of a crapshoot. You got Chicago the week after that, and you know, listen, that's not a gimme game by any standards based on the way I see the Chicago defense play. Specifically, their D-line play is really good, the Bears. Now, I don't think I'm ever going to be sold on Caleb Williams. Don't think I'm ever going to be sold on him. And a few other guys enter that conversation for me. You got C.J. Stroud going up to the podium after playing like shit and saying, well, you know, I know God's got me. I know God's got me. Just gonna keep my faith in God. They're like, why'd you throw five picks tonight? Oh, you know, God wanted me to. It's just God's plan. You know, I'm just trying to do the best I could do for God, you know, and Jesus and Jeebus. You know, I think it's just really, really gay.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
You know when like boomers gaslight you and they say, well, I just did that because God told me to. And you're like, okay. It was still a shitty thing maybe they did something bad and they're like, oh, I just did what God told me to do. You know, just basically using God to shrug off all accountability. Oh, I played bad, you know, but I'm a man of God. You know, I love God. I love God. He made me. He made everybody in this chat. But I'm not going to fuck somebody over or play a bad football game and then be like, yeah, you know, God, he just didn't want me to play good today, so I just got to do whatever I can to honor him, you know what I mean? It's like, dude, take some fucking accountability. Like, Russell Wilson used to do it all the time. You know, he doesn't play anymore, so he's not taking as many pressers. He did clap back at Sean Payton yesterday, which I think was something else I was going to cover, and then I forgot. He said Sean Payton's been bounty hunting for 15-plus years, bounty hunting. So to me, what Russell Wilson, okay, Russell Wilson says, Sean Payton, you've been bounty hunting for 15 plus years. What do you mean by bounty hunting? Like is he insinuating that Sean Payton's got an agenda against Russ? Is he insinuating that Sean Payton habitually seeks out players that he doesn't like for whatever reason and try to get their job taken? Now, I do know, I will say this, in terms of the Sean Payton, Russell Wilson beef, Russ was benched in Denver that year. I can't remember which year. It was like 2-3 years ago. Russ was benched in Denver. Maybe it was last year. I can't remember. He was benched in Denver, and he was statistically playing pretty well. They weren't winning games when they needed to, but statistically, and I don't ever want to paint myself as a stat merchant, but statistically, I know for a fact that Russ was playing probably at a better level than he deserved to be benched under Sean Payton. So, I think Russ is painting. When you say, oh, you've been a bounty hunter 15 plus years, let's go in the two different directions here. Okay. First direction is Russ is saying he's been bounty hunting Russ specifically for the last 15 plus years. Okay. Let's say that's what he means. Painting yourself as a victim, bud. Sean Payton could be a piece of shit. I've never met the guy. I've never been in a building with the guy. The only NFL head coach I've been in a building with is Frank Reich, who's now the head coach at Stanford, and he's not even going to make it back there another year. He's an interim. So I can't speak on Sean Payton personally. Could be a piece of shit. Could be a piece of shit. But Russ is saying, oh, you've been bounty hunting me. Me. You've been trying to spear me. Fucking victim, man. I don't like victims. I don't like victims. Well, this might have been God's plan, Russ, for Sean Payton to be bounty hunting you. What if it's God's plan? You going to fight God's plan? You know, every time. Yes, Toxic, this is live. Every time a guy like Russ Wilson has a bad game, he's like, well, we're just going to give faith to God and this is all in his plan and this was meant to happen. It's like, stop. Like, take some fucking accountability. And I will say, Russ is a Super Bowl champ. Beat Denver in the Super Bowl, by the way. Russ is a Super Bowl champ. So clearly the guy has done what he's needed to do to have success as a professional. He's made money in the NFL for ever since I was 16, 15 years old, right? He's been doing it a long time. But don't victim blame. Like, you know, and I will say this too. He's never really stuck up for himself like that. He's never really defended himself like that publicly. What I hear about Russ Wilson from players that have played with him before, guys like Marshawn Lynch, guys like Richard Sherman, Cam Chancellor, guys that played with Russ before have not spoken fondly of him post-football. They have not spoken fondly of him. I'm not saying they've gone out and deliberately trashed Russell Wilson. But I know for a fact, none of the guys from the Legion of Boom team, Marshawn Lynch, no guys from that era, when they were having success too, by the way, spoke all that fondly of Russ Wilson. I think that's the best barometer for whether a guy is a good guy or not. Do your teammates, your dogs, your gang, do they fuck with you? You know, if I'm a part of a community, if I'm a part of a team, and no one from that team has good things to say about me, set the set people saying bad things aside, like that would be one thing if all his former teammates were coming out saying bad things about him. That doesn't really seem to be the case. I know Marshawn Lynch told some stories about like block numbers and like weird stuff where, you know, Russ would call him for like a block number, I guess, because he didn't want him to have his number or something. Like kind of weird behavior. It seems like politician behavior. And that's kind of how I've seen Russ Wilson over the years. The way he responds to the media is just kind of politician. I don't like politicians. You know, it feels fake. That's my point. So Sean Payton could be piece of shit. Could have been fucking Russ over. But Russ becomes much less likable to me in this situation because he's acting like a fucking victim. You've been bounty hunting for 15 plus years. What does that mean? Yeah, I mean, he's just kind of weird. It just kind of feels a little fake when Russ Wilson opens his mouth. And that's the exact type of guy that I'm ranting about in the NFL today. Oh, you know, talking about God after you threw five picks. Like I said, I love God. God made me, boy. But don't use God when it's convenient for you to shrug off accountability for playing like shit. Oh, I see. That's the context that we're looking for. That makes sense. The New Orleans scandal. I see. Yeah. That's a better jab then. That's not as much victimizing oneself as I would have interpreted. Sean Payton had a bounty hunting scandal in New Orleans where they were trying to knock players out of games. Yeah, they were paying players to hurt guys. That's some Pittsburgh Steelers shit if I've ever heard it. Damn, yeah, okay, that's the context we needed. So Russ is not being a victim here. It's the first time he goes up and publicly defends himself. And I will say that for the first time, probably in his career, I'll put it this way, that's probably the realest thing he could have done. But also, and it's mid-season, he's on another team. If I'm somebody that's worked with somebody for a long time and I'm powerful enough for people to be attacking me in the media, I'm probably going to just try and call them on the phone. But I get that some relationships get past that, you know. That's what I'm saying. Dude, Chicken Nuggets is king in the chat. Hey, that bounty hunting man. I know Pittsburgh's been doing that for a minute. That bounty hunting. They got Carson Palmer's head back in the division round in 05. I'm chirping a little bit. That's all I'm doing. Shit, man. But yeah, so, you know, it's like God doesn't want you to go up there and put accountability on him for throwing four interceptions in front of a national audience. He don't want you to do that. He wants you to be an alpha. Take accountability. Grab your nuts a little bit. That's what God wants you to do. God calls you to be the head of the household as a man. What does a head of a household do? He grabs his fucking nuts. And he says, I threw four picks. I suck tonight. I'm going to get better. Not that God wanted you to play bad tonight. It was all in his plan. No, it fucking ain't. God's saying, it's in my plans for you to be a goddamn alpha dog that's sharp and dialed and focused and creative. That's what God wants you to be, not some sad sack that went up to the press and shrugged off accountability on God because he didn't play well, he wasn't prepared enough. That's all I'm saying about that, man. That's all I'm saying. Okay, so we kind of covered the NFL rumors, didn't we? Sean Payton, Russ Wilson, Woody Johnson, Baltimore Ravens, Mike McDaniel, he's the last one we got to get to. Guy's hiding absolutely nothing in public criticism, dude. He's hiding nothing from the media, and it looks bad in there. And I want to say, too, it's really easy to hype up the teams that are playing really well right now, like Indianapolis. And it's really easy to dog on the teams that are in the trash can right now. But we have to get macro. You think about the turn of events with my Bengals so far this season. And you guys, as fans of the show, have watched it unfold every day. You go from optimistic to Joey B going down and getting a healthy dose of copium week three, where I'm thinking this delusional thought that Jake Browning would take this team to the promised land, and then we have the worst loss in franchise history against Minnesota, blow it up, it's over. Play Denver on Monday night the next week. Blow it up. It's over. I hate this organization. I hate this team. I hate what they do to me. Detroit at home. Just kill me already. 2-3. Anyway. And then we lose to Green Bay. And you have this game on Thursday night that completely changes the outlook on everything. So that's how fast things can change in this league. If Indy were to somehow drop the next two or the next three, everybody would be asking about Shane Steichen being on the hot seat. You know what I mean? Like, it's very... So the point with that for me is that I understand I'm a part of the media. I understand I'm overreacting to things just like every other member of the media is. But when we can, we keep our mind on the macro. So the media has really been dogging Mike McDaniel and the Dolphins this week. And there's no reason not to. Like I said, they're in a trash can right now. But here's my take on the Miami Dolphins. You ready? Miami is an impossible place to stay focused. There are too many distractions for an NFL player living in Miami, Florida. The weather's too nice. That ocean water is too comfortable. The women are too banging. And if you're a rich, famous NFL player, hell yeah, you're going to have people inviting you to clubs, free tables, bottle service, every night if you want. Miami is an impossible place to maintain a winning professional football organization. At least today. Back in the 70s, man. A little bit of that coca. I don't know what the difference was because they were winning in the 70s. Exactly. They've had success in the past. So what's changed? Is it the internet? Is it club culture? I definitely think social media might have exacerbated some situation.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
Situation like that. Because if you're not just a pro football player, if you're a human, you're going to be on social media. You're going to be potentially seeing other people living a similar lifestyle to you, where they're wearing big fucking chains and they're out at bars toting bottles around with some bad bitches. You know, if you see that and you're thinking, well, I'm in the NFL. Bitches know who the fuck I am. I'm going to wear a big chain and go out on a Wednesday night too. Flex a little bit. Stunt my shit. We've been seeing that being a problem for Cam Taylor-Britt in Cincinnati, the corner for Cincinnati, who was a healthy scratch last week. Nobody knew why they benched his ass. He didn't even dress for the game, but he was healthy. Local Cincinnati folks say they see him out at bars and clubs constantly. This is Cincinnati. Can you imagine if Cam Taylor-Britt lived in Miami? So there's probably a couple of cases like that. And then you think about, well, you start having a bad season as a Dolphins player. You start facing a little adversity. And you want to go to the club with some bitches with some plastic up in their shit and a few free bottles to drown the pain of losing away. Miami does not seem like a place where you can run a winning pro football organization. I'm not saying remove the Dolphins from Miami, but any coach that takes that job has got to understand the challenges that come with that. I don't think Mike McDaniel is a big imposing alpha that's going to get in these guys' face and say, if you party one more time, I'm going to stick my foot so far up your ass that you start tasting leather. That's what Miami Dolphins need. And I'm not sure if today's players are going to be able to respond to a coach that coaches hard like that. Unless it's a former player. And I think that is the sauce for today's NFL. If you can have a guy who was formerly great as a player, we're seeing it with coaches, particularly in their old organizations. You've been there, you've done that, you've walked the walk. Then you can coach hard because you know these kids respect you. Because if they disrespect you, what can you say? Have you won rings with this organization? I have. Have you given literal blood to this organization? I have. Do you want to be great? Of course you do. So shut the fuck up. Dan Campbell, former Detroit Lion, having success. Mike Vrabel, former New England Patriot, having success. Two alpha dogs that played at those respective organizations. Mike Vrabel won Super Bowl rings. Dan Campbell was a pro for a long time. Now, I would say D'Amico Ryans because he was a Texan, but they're not having much success right now. And every 3 seconds, C.J. Stroud wants to talk about God. It's just annoying. It's very annoying. You know? So that was my spiel about Miami. And again, the Colts, probably the biggest surprise of the league so far this year. These guys are having Monday night football watch parties together. Monday night football. Danny Dimes, look, the guy's not taking sacks. He doesn't seem bothered by pressure. They got this beautiful play-action dynamic with Jonathan Taylor because the linebackers are so scared that Jonathan Taylor is going to be gone if they blink for a second. They get stuck in mud on these play-actions. And Danny Dimes has got no fear of getting sacked for whatever reason. He's not affected by pressure this year. So the play action, I think that's the big sauce for the Colts right now because there's such a threat. Jonathan Taylor is the best back in the game. By far. I don't even think it's a contest. Perfect situation for Daniel Jones, man. College football. Had this on the thumbnail for a reason. Hot seats. They're getting hot.
They're getting hot. Brian Kelly, don't think he finishes the season as LSU's coach. Mark Stoops, head coach of Kentucky, shouldn't finish the season as Kentucky's head coach, but I feel like he will. You got Mike Norvell. Mike Norvell. I don't remember. I don't know how to say it specifically. Mike Norvell. Florida State has lost 9 conference games in a row. They have lost 9 ACC games in a row. So on my hot seat this week, and it has been a head coaching firing frenzy in college football this year. I think the frenzy is going to open up in pro football here pretty soon. I'm shocked Mike McDaniel still has a job. I think they're going to let Aaron Glenn work it out in New York. I'm not sure, though. But anyways, digress there. Mike Norvell, he's buried. But the problem with Mike Norvell is he's got a contract through 2031. His buyout would be massive. And I meant to go into the AI and ask it about the history of college football head coaching buyouts, because I just don't understand how these guys' agents are able to work out deals where these coaches are so protected from being fired. It's absurd. These schools are in such a bad spot. Mark Stoops would have been fired 5 years ago if it wasn't for his buyout. And unless you're a big-ass school like Penn State, where you can pool a bunch of donor money together to pay that buyout on a 2 weeks notice, you're up a creek. So you can't fire this guy. But you might have to. And then what does that do to your NIL funds? What does that do? Like, do you have to start serving Kroger Gatorade instead of the real thing? What, like, how does it affect everything financially? If you have a head coach that comes in, isn't winning, isn't running the locker room the way he needs to, and then you got to pay him $70 million to get the fuck out. Who are these guys' agents? Somewhere in the history of the sport, and I imagine it was briefer than I would think when this buyout stuff started happening. But every time I hear about a coach on the hot seat in college football, they say, oh, well, his buyout's fucking crazy. Every single one. Every single one. I don't know what Billy Napier's buyout was, but I'm sure he had one, and I'm sure it's in the tens of M's. It's crazy. So we got Mike Norvell on the hot seat. I think the guy's buried. FSU's a big enough school, too, where I feel like they'd get enough donor support to fund that buyout. He's lost 9 ACC games in a row. Lincoln Riley at USC, the next guy that came up on my radar, is a hot seat guy. I think his career is dying a little bit as a head coach. I think the guy's a fantastic offensive coordinator. I've said that before on here. Nobody fears USC anymore. I don't think anybody's really feared Southern Cal in football for a little bit. I think Lincoln Riley would be better suited being an OC somewhere. But again, he's probably got a massive buyout. What we'll have to do, and you guys hold me to this in here watching right now, we'll have to come up with a list of all these coaches we list today, of all their buyouts, and figure out where that precedent started of signing a head coach to a contract and having these massive buyout guardrails in place for the coach. It's almost like coaches are competitors. I'm not saying that a buyout would hamper a coach's drive and willingness to lead a locker room of men, but does it have a subconscious effect? Do you feel like you have insurance? Because, oh, if I get shit canned, they're going to give me $50 million. I don't know. It'd be really interesting to see the fine print of these contracts and figure out when this precedent started and what agent was able to push a deal like that across for the first time. I think that'd be really interesting to figure out about. Lincoln Riley on the hot seat. Brian Kelly will not finish the season as LSU's head coach. It's a bad fit. His personality does not fit the culture. I don't think the guy takes accountability. I don't think players like him. And I know that Baton Rouge doesn't like him. He's not on this little list I drafted, but Mark Stoops, man. Kentucky, hometown Wildcats. Mark Stoops should have been fired 4 or 5 years ago. I don't think Kentucky's AD, Mitch Barnhart, has ever come up for air to get some oxygen for that brain. You know, I think Mark Pope was a fine hire in basketball. I think he's going to have that program just, successful season if it's Sweet 16 or Elite Eight. And that's going to kind of be the culture for basketball. I hope I'm wrong. I would love for them to be championship contenders. But Kentucky just kind of seems like an athletic program that kind of gets the scraps of all the power in terms of coaches, in terms of recruits. They kind of get the scraps that all the top-tier SEC schools push to the side. The top ones, you know, the Florida job's going to be heavily touted. You know, Bama, Georgia, Tennessee. Well, and I shouldn't even really throw Tennessee in there because that, other than baseball, Tennessee's athletic program has not contended for national championships for a long time either. And really, Ole Miss is just starting to. And Vandy, obviously, getting all this hype. They're number 10 in America right now. Diego Pavia, the dark horse Heisman candidate. That Heisman race is wide-ass open. And, this is a part of college and pro football that I really like. Parity. I like not knowing who the Heisman clear front runner is. Unless it's a guy like Burrow who's just like watching a video game when he was in college. That's fun too. I guess both sides of it are fun. Seeing somebody really great and really dominant, there's something to say for that. But it's also cool to not know, like, damn, who's the Heisman front runner? Like, I don't know. Is it Ty Simpson? Alabama just went through a gauntlet. Gauntlet. They beat Vandy. They beat Georgia. They beat Mizzou. They beat Tennessee. And they won all of them. It's really impressive how that program responded after everyone, myself included, literally shit on them after losing to Florida State week one. Shite on them. It's impressive to see that program bouncing back. I don't think that Lane Kiffin's going to take the Florida job. I think that would be more of a lateral move than a promotion. I think the only two jobs that Lane Kiffin would take would be LSU, which may come open. I think it should come open. Or Alabama. Lane Kiffin at and that job's not coming open soon. They'd have to lose like four games in a row. Bama would have to lose the next four games in a row for DeBoer to get fired. And his buyout's like $73 million. So I think the only case where Lane Kiffin realistically leaves Ole Miss is if Brian Kelly gets fired at LSU, which I think he should.
because I think that's the only job in college football Lane leaves Ole Miss for. There's levels to this shit. There's a reason, like, he's not going anywhere in the Big Ten. He's not going anywhere in the ACC. He's not going anywhere in the Big 12, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There are two top-tier SEC programs that Lane Kiffin would leave Ole Miss for. And subsequently, they are the two. What the fuck? Why are there balloons on my screen? Somebody tell me. Somebody at Streamlabs pop into this shit and tell me why I had these gay-ass balloons just come up on my screen on this live stream. That's absurd. I'm spitting game right now, too. You got to figure that shit out. So anyways, there's levels to this shit. People, Big Ten fans complaining about SEC bias. The biggest, most ballin' programs in the land are LSU.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
And Bama. Think about the cultures, you think about the history, you think about the bankroll that these programs have, you think about the towns, the fans, how much they care. Alabama and LSU are the cream de la creme. And I think Lane Kiffin's the cream de la creme in terms of coaches in college football that have it figured out in the new era. So realistically, only way that Lane Kiffin leaves Ole Miss is if Brian Kelly gets fired at LSU. Lane takes that job. What was I saying? So yeah, Brian Kelly, I think he's pretty much buried over there. No one likes him. Luke Fickle, Wisconsin. I don't know much about Luke Fickle. I haven't watched a single Wisconsin football game this season, but it doesn't seem like it would be a worthy investment of my time. Colts, baby, Colts. For the shoe. And then the last one, Bill O'Brien. He's not dead yet there at Boston College. It just doesn't seem like his ability to head coach the college game, I don't think it's translating, because the guy's got great ability to coach pros. I think some people are fit to be coordinators. Some people are fit to be head coaches. I think Bill is more suited to be a coordinator, because he's a great football mind. But again, we discussed this. I saw another podcast clip discussing this today, talking about everything that goes into coaching. It's not just having a mind for the game. I think Bill O'Brien's got a great mind for the game. I've watched his clipboard sessions on YouTube. It's great juice if you're talking about route concepts. You know, I think Bill would be a great OC somewhere in the NFL. You know, it's Cincinnati, shit, I'd love for Cincinnati to have an OC like him. But it wouldn't matter because Zach Taylor would want to call the fucking plays. Ridiculous. Ridiculous. What I like about Cincinnati that's going on right now is you got a veteran in Joe Flacco that doesn't mind changing the play in the huddle, or if he calls the play wrong, he just kind of changes it around. I think why they had so much success on Thursday is because Zach would call a certain play in, and then Joe would either get the call wrong and change it to his liking, or just change it to his liking. And I think that's part of why the Bengals had success. Zach Taylor's got to let Joe Flacco go with it a little bit. So anyways, that's, you know, Bill O'Brien over there at Boston College. It's just not going well for him. I think he'd be better suited to be an OC in the NFL. Yeah, and just in terms of job openings in the SEC, we could take a look. We've already mentioned all of them. I saw Mississippi State being mentioned as a potential job that would be open. I thought they had a pretty good team. They beat Arizona State. which again just shows you the bottom tier of the SEC would probably beat most teams in most other conferences in America. But they've dropped a couple games recently. I think the guy's name is Lebby. The head coach over there, his name is Lebby. I wonder if it's hard to get recruits in this era down to Starkville, Mississippi. We played there my sophomore year, and it was just woods. There's nothing there. I think they just got their first bar over there the last few years. There's nothing there. How do you get recruits to say, yeah, I'm going to spend my college career here? I don't understand. Mississippi's a great place. I love Mississippi. But Starkville, I was like, what the hell, dude? It was an easy drive from Birmingham. So it must be in East Mississippi. So SEC openings. Arkansas is already open. Bobby Petrino, the interim head coach over there right now. But they'll probably hire someone else. Mississippi State, like I said, I was shocked to see them come up. But they have had a skid lately. And it's crazy how fast that these coaches being on the hot seat materialize. How fast it materializes with the way media is today. You're able to have independent programs and productions with followings that spread sentiment about things. And then all of a sudden, a few big donors start to agree with the clips they see on Instagram. And then they start to pull money together and say, hey, let's get this guy fired. Look at how fast James Franklin's story unfolded there at Penn State. That's social media for you. That's what's going on there. I think Kentucky's job should be open. I've already mentioned I think LSU's job should be open. I think Kentucky's job should be open, but I don't think it will be open because I think their AD, Mitch Barnhart's got his head in his ass. You know, there's just kind of a complacent nature. It's my hometown, so I feel like I can dump on it a little bit. There's a bit of a complacent nature in Lexington, Kentucky. And I think that AD over there at the University of Kentucky is happy with his football program going 7-5, 8-4 every year. And I think he'll be happy with his basketball program getting, you know, 20 wins or so in basketball. And just cruising on down the line, giving these fans hope every year, but never really materializing any kind of championship product in basketball or football. I hope I'm wrong. And if I am wrong, it's going to be about basketball. Football, Kentucky is a failing fucking program. Has been for a long time. They had a glimpse of success back when I was in fifth grade. 2007, they ended up being close to number 8 in the country, and that has been the absolute pinnacle of what I've seen out of Kentucky football for my entire 29-year life. I'm looking at championship contention. Hell yeah, there's been good teams in Lexington other than 07. But I'm looking at what years were these teams in championship contention. Let's set basketball aside because they were there for a long time with Cal, and then it fizzled. But they only got one. That was a cool night of my life when they won it in basketball. But anyway, that's my rant about Kentucky. They got to fire Stoops. This guy's more worried about tee times. Always has been, too, by the way. And I know this from sources. Mark Stoops has always had his tee times at the Lexington Country Club booked. He's always got himself a glass of bourbon in the evening down there at the JW Marriott dive bar. Caking on the honeys. Pulling up to other neighborhoods that he doesn't live in. Dialing in the keypad, he's a little boozed up. He dials the wrong number on the keypad, and he's asking for Melissa. But, you know, Jenny ends up answering the phone, and then Jenny goes to Thompson Lex. No, I'm just kidding. But you get what I'm saying? It's just, I've heard all this stuff about Mark Stoops from reputable sources. And he continues to be the coach of Kentucky. It's been a very mediocre program, if not underachieving program under him. And I think that's being nice. So like I said, no clear Heisman front running. The last thing I wanted to hit on was talking about recruiting, NIL, transfer portal. No big programs are recruiting high schoolers anymore. It's all in the portal. It's not winning. You're not winning anymore recruiting high schoolers. And you got this South Florida talent just sitting unsigned for years. This is what I'm hearing from the inside. You get all this talent, all this high school talent that just goes completely unacknowledged. And you got dogs going to junior college or whatever. I don't know what these guys are doing coming out of high school. I don't know what the process would be if you're a high schooler trying to play college football. Because back when I was trying to get recruited, I would send thousands and thousands and thousands of emails. I would scrape Twitter. I would scrape all the university websites for these coaches' emails. And I would just spam email them my highlights and just grind. I'd send thousands of emails. And not a lot of them get answered. It's sales, right? When you're in sales, the majority of your phone calls aren't going to turn into business. That's just the game. But I sent thousands of emails. And, you know, 990 of them didn't get answered. So I can't imagine how hard it is now when all coaches in college are focused on is a transfer portal. I can't imagine how hard it is as a high school prospect, even a good one, to get through to a coach and get them to actually talk to you, because they're not focused on recruiting high school kids anymore. All the money's in the portal. All the success seems to be in the portal. And you got these South Florida kids, these trap babies, that are absolute dogs sitting unsigned. That's what I'm hearing from coaches. You know, and to make it even harder for these like Big Ten programs like Iowa, Wisconsin, you know, programs with a lot of with some big exciting whites. You think a South Florida kid is going to want a South Florida dog, a jit, is going to want to go to Wisconsin where it's negative 30 degrees? Hell no. They grew up thinking playing for Florida was cool. They grew up thinking playing for the U was cool, or Georgia, or Bama, because those are the best programs. And South Florida is in the same general vicinity. So the best players, the best high school players, come from South Florida. In America, the best high school players come from South Florida. Look at all the great pros that have come from South Florida. Something's different down there. I played with some South Florida jits. You know, these guys are fucking different. They come in with grills in their mouth doing this. And sometimes you can't fully understand the guys, but you get the point, and the point is made beautifully. Guys like Kodak. I love Kodak. Love listening to him. You know? Guys like Antonio Brown, man. Guys that just got that in them. You know what I mean, man? South Florida produces the best football players. And a lot of these guys are going unsigned because no college programs are recruiting high schoolers anymore. They're just going to the portal. So hopefully we don't miss out on some South Florida dogs. But this is what I'm saying. This is why I've always said SEC football is different. These South Florida guys, they grow up seeing Florida. They grow up seeing Miami. They grow up seeing LSU, Bama, Georgia. And that's where they go. I think it might be the heat, too. You know, that heat and that humidity, it builds character. I don't know, man. South Florida guys are just fucking different. They're my favorite kind of guys. I love people. I love football guys from South Florida. I love those
these viral videos I see of these youth games in South Florida where a fucking six-year-old houses it from, you know, 50 yards, and then he starts humping the ground in celebration. I love that shit. I love that shit. And the parents are like, get it! Get it! You know what I mean? It's fire. I love it. So I thought that was an interesting little tidbit that came to my attention today in preparation for the show. We are at 1 hour and 3 minutes. Time flies when you're having fun. Let me turn an inch into a mile here. Thank you for watching this podcast and the stream. Thank you for being in here, everybody that's participated in the chat. Shout out Toxic, shout out K-Dub Royal, shout out Chicken Nuggets is King, and many others. Shout out to everybody listening. If I could take an inch and turn it into a mile, I'd imagine some people watching this podcast right now are not subscribed to the channel. And I imagine that if YouTube's algorithm put this in front of you, that you like football. And if you like football, you're going to love our channel. So hit subscribe. It goes a long way. It'll help us fund a better show for you guys down the line. And it'll help us continue to bring you the best of what's going on in college and pro football. You can also access the replay of this episode if you popped in late on this channel directly. You can actually pop out of the stream now if you want to go check out the channel and check out all the replays of each episode. We're here 5-ish to 6-ish Eastern, Monday through Friday, live. We're live on here. We're live on Twitch. We're live on Kick. And you can also get the audio version of this podcast on any audio platform that you choose. Even the most obscure audio platform, we're there. But we're also on the biggest ones. So with that being said, appreciate everybody popping in. We'll be back tomorrow to preview Thursday Night Football. And until then, stay blessed. Stay black.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com. You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.